Great. Well, thank you, everybody, and welcome to our second conference call for RF101 Recreation Foundations. I'm honored to host this call from the traditional territory of the Kwinana First Nation and Tom Kwachin Council. Last week, we saw that recreation looks different in each of your communities. For example, we heard how busy Christmas is for recreation in Iqaluit and also other parts of Nunavut. I've heard lots about the Christmas holiday games that go all December and until the new year. So looking forward to hearing more about those. We've also heard about how social activities are important in Tagish because that's a community with many retired adults and elders. And we learned that small communities like Enterprise, as Stephanie told us, have many different activities, just like some of the bigger communities, like Whitehorse or Yellowknife. As we talked about last week, recreation is influenced by the weather that is going on in your community, by culture, by people's ages and interests, and also by the different facilities that you can access in your community. But despite all those differences, last week you described the ways in which recreation brings people together, builds relationships, strengthens your culture, gets people active, encourages people to volunteer and come out, and also supports our physical and mental well-being. So this week we're going to look at, and I know some of you've already looked at all of this, the national priorities for recreation. I think even though we work in recreation in our small communities, it's really important to know about the framework for recreation in Canada and to understand the benefits of recreation. And it helps us know how recreation in our own communities can better support the national priorities, which are around health and well-being. So for today's call, we're going to start by introducing ourselves, looking at some of the topics from this week, which are on slides 13 to 18, and discussing our national goals, but also what's going on in your communities and the benefits of recreation. So we have fewer people on the call this week, so we're probably a bit more flexible. What you might want to do, though, is when it's your turn, when we go around the circle and it's your turn to share, just be aware of the time that we have, and I'll sometimes give you a guideline, like in 10 seconds or in 20 seconds. And that way we make sure everybody has a chance to share if they'd like to. You can also, if you feel more comfortable putting your answer in the chat or putting a question in the chat, you can do that and then I'll read it for you. Especially that might be important if you're in a very noisy place and it's hard for you to talk and to listen. So let's try and use those different ways so that we can all participate. So we're going to do a quick round of introductions. And our circle, the order is going to go this time, thanks Kumanopic, that Andrew's there. So I've got Andrew as being there as well. So this time I've got us listed in a circle that goes by our communities by alphabetical order. And I thought that what we might do is we're going to start, if we start with A, then that would mean that Nathan in Baker Lake comes in the circle after me. So we'll go from Nathan, then to Stephanie, and then over to Iqaluit, and then Trista, Joanne, Morgan, Rebecca, Haley, and Jed, and then over to Tim. And if anybody else joins in, I've got them listed too. So what I'd like you to do is to introduce yourself in about 10 seconds or less. It's great to hear your name because then we get to know your voice a little bit and also your community. And then I'd love for you to share, if you want, what your favorite recreation activity as a young child was. So I'll start off while, Nathan, you think about your introduction. And then after me, we'll go from Nathan to Stephanie and then to Kumanopic, Andrew, and Trevor. So I'm Caroline. I'm in Whitehorse on the traditional territory of the Kwinana and Dunn First Nation and Tom Kwachin Council. My favorite recreation activity as a young child was going to the beach. I grew up by the ocean, and I absolutely love the ocean. And although I've lived in the Yukon for 35 years now, I still miss the ocean. So that was my favorite thing. So let's go to Nathan. So Nathan, in about 10 seconds or less, can you tell us who you are, where you are, and if you want to, share your favorite recreation activity as a young child.
Yeah, my name's Nathan Unmanode from Bay Creek, also known as Kamanitoak, where the river widens. And my favorite recreational activity as a child was sliding on Prince River Hill. It used to have lots and lots of snow, but kids today can't slide on it. Too many rocks. Times change, but oh well, they find different places to slide now.
Oh, so you get a lot less snow now than when you grew up?
Oh, yeah. We have a snow fence more than a mile long, which protects us from the snow. We used to get snow going up to our roofs. My dad used to have to dig up in a 45-degree angle so I could go to school, but we don't get that anymore.
Wow, that's a big change. Thanks for sharing that, Nathan, and sliding is so much fun. It's something that all kids love to do, so thank you. Okay, let's go over to Enterprise. So that would be you, Stephanie. In about 10 seconds or less, can you introduce yourself and share your favorite recreation activity as a young child? And then from Stephanie, we'll go to Aglulik.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Katria. I live in Enterprise, Northwest Territories, and my favorite recreation activity as a child was anything to do with water, swimming, boating. We did a lot of camping along the river, and arts and crafts.
Oh, that's great. I like how you got that balance of being outdoors and then things that that you can do indoors. And thanks, Jed. I know you have to go to another class, so thank you for joining us for a little bit this morning. I see you're signing off. Okay, let's go to Iglulik. I have Andrew Kumanopic and Trevor. I'm not sure who wants to go first, but maybe you can. You guys, if you're all, are you all in the same room? And you might have to, I think I can hear you now, you might have to go star 6 to unmute yourself if you're muted. Andrew, are you able to, are you on the phone that you can chat?
Can you guys hear me now?
I absolutely can hear you, thank you.
Okay. Kumangapi ang nagtiyak. Talking right now, and I live in Iglulik, Nunavut, and my favorite program activity as a young buck was kids camp. Over to Andrew.
Thanks. Was our town doing kids camp when you were little?
The other one, I forgot.
Okay. That's great. So over to Andrew, is that right?
Oh, yes.
Hello. My name is Andrew Akel from Iglulik. My favorite program was Easter Games.
That's great. I love your description. Thank you for sharing the photos, too, of Easter Games.
I'm giving it to Trevor.
Okay, great. Thank you, Andrew.
Hello, my name is Trevor Allowood. I live in Iglulik, Nunavut. Most of my life, as a child, I got interested in hockey ever since I liked hockey up to today. So, for the past 6 years, I've been working at the arena now.
That's great.
All I can say.
Thank you, Trevor. And can you tell me, to say thank you in the dialect that you use in Iglulik, how would I say thank you in your dialect?
Kuyan Namik.
Kuyan Namik? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, Kyamnanik to Trevor Kumanopic and to Andrew. And let's go over to Trista. So Trista, Joanne, Morgan, and then Rebecca. Oh, Trista's busy, so in the office, no worries, Trista. Trista's posted in the chat that she grew up in Ignace, Ontario, and her favorite time in summer was swimming, camping, and fishing, and in winter, figure skating. So that's great. That's a big variety of activities. Thanks, Trista. Let's go to Joanne, and then Morgan, and then Rebecca.
Hi, good afternoon, Unnisat to everyone. My name is Joanne Reedmark, and I am from Kingate, Nunavut. My favorite activity as a child was playing soccer.
Oh, that's a good one, because you don't need a lot of, you just need some other people and a ball, right, to play soccer, so it doesn't rely on a lot of facilities or a lot of organization. Thanks, Joanne. And let's go to Morgan. Morgan, would you like to introduce yourself and share your favorite activity as a child?
Hi, this is Morgan Ivoklu. Hi, this is Morgan Ivoklu. I'm from Kokloktok, Nunavut, and my favorite recreation program was, when I was a child, was climbing, rock climbing at our cliffs here in our town. We'd climb the cliffs all summer long with the 24-hour daylight, so we'd be out there all day and then all night and morning, so it was always so fun.
Wow, that's wonderful. It must have made you really strong climbing cliffs, because you have to use your arms and your legs and your whole body to do that, so I bet it was beautiful. Thank you, Morgan. Let's go to Rebecca, and then we'll go Haley and Jed.
Hi, this is Rebecca Penny. I'm originally from Chesterfield, living in Massey Drive, Newfoundland right now. As a kid, my favorite rec sport was, or were, softball and basketball.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Rebecca. And did that, when did you start to get interested in Arctic sport and Inuit games?
I was 13.
Yeah, I loved your introduction and your explanation of that, so thank you for sharing, and welcome. Okay, Haley, over to you, and Jed's had to sign off, so, and Tim's put his introduction in the chat. So, Haley, over to you, and then I'll see if there's anybody who's joined the call that I might have missed.
Hi, my name's Haley. I'm the recreation assistant for the Village of Teslin, and I live on the traditional land of the Teslin Tlingit Council. My favorite recreational activity growing up was probably softball, basketball, hunting, and fishing.
That's great. Thank you, Haley, and welcome. Thanks for your introduction. And Tim has posted that he's at Zambake in Yellowknife, and his favorite recreation activity was as a child was camping, which included swimming as his second favorite. So it's pretty interesting when we think about all the things we enjoyed doing as a child and how many of those are outdoors. So, you know, just about everybody mentioned something that was outdoors, and if it wasn't outdoors, you had something else that you did that was outdoors as well. And I think that that's a really great way to move into looking at the framework for recreation in Canada, for which one of the goals is connecting people with nature and the outdoors. And even like Morgan's favorite activity about climbing cliffs, you can see, you know, there's an element of risk-taking with that, and children develop those skills that help them be strong and confident when they become adults. So I think it's really great to hear all the things that you enjoyed doing as a child. So if you have the presentation slides for our F101 open in front of you, we'll be looking at slides 13 and 14. If you don't have them, don't worry about it. I'll make sure that I explain it. So slides 13 and 14, introduce the... Yes?
Hi. I joined the call. I was just waiting for my turn, but it's...
I'm so sorry. Who's this? It's Serena. I'm sorry, Serena. Hi, Serena. I'm so sorry. Thank you for interrupting me. I appreciate that. Very timely. I did say I was going to ask if anybody else would join the call, and then I kept talking, right? So my apologies. So, Serena, what we're doing is we're just introducing ourselves in 10 seconds or less and sharing, if you want to, what your favorite recreation activity as a young child was. So over to you, Serena.
So, hi, my name's Serena. I am the recreation support worker for Kuomintang First Nation. I'm also Kuomintang. And I really enjoyed going to, like, the camp that Kuomintang would put on, but obviously, like, older youth or, like, adults that would put on. Yeah, so I like to attend the camp that I now plan.
Oh, that's great. That's so nice that you're able to be involved in something that you enjoyed as a child and do that for the young people in your community. So thank you, Serena. Did I miss anybody else just join? I think someone else might have just joined the call. Is there anyone who I missed in the introductions?
Hi, Juliana here.
Hi, Juliana. Welcome. What we were doing is we were just introducing ourselves in about 10 seconds and sharing what, if you want to, what your favorite recreation activity as a young child was. So I wonder if you'd like to introduce yourself quickly.
Yes. Yes, can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you, yes.
Yes. So introducing ourselves like last week. And favorite activity.
Sorry? Yes, just your name. Yes, introduce yourself with your name, your community, and what you love to do for recreation as a child.
So, Juliana Fialo, here in Cambridge Bay. My favorite activity as a child was going to the beach with my family, and I'm from Brazil.
Oh, I love the beach, too. I miss the beach. Thank you for sharing that, Juliana. Is there anyone else who I've missed on the call? And I know some of you are in the chat and not talking, so that's okay, too. Great. So thank you. So if you do have the presentation slides open, I'm going to be talking about slides 13 and 14 that introduce the framework for recreation in Canada. So the framework offers a vision and five really big or broad goals for recreation. And what the framework really is, it doesn't tell us what we have to do in our communities because our communities are all so different, but it just invites all of us to work towards common priorities or things that are really important while respecting the diversity and the uniqueness across the country. The framework was developed as a joint effort between the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association, the provincial recreation and parks associations, and all of the provincial and territorial governments. So there were representatives from all of those involved in it. And I think what is most important to me is the influence that those of us in the North had when the framework was created. It was created from 2011 to 2015. And we had a national summit with the same number of people from each territory and each province there. So it wasn't like, you know, the Yukon had one person and Nunavut had one person and Ontario had 100. We all were allowed to, I think it was 7 people we could take or 11 people. So it's really great because those of us from Yukon, NWT, and Nunavut who were there were able to sort of share what is so different about the North and how our experiences are different delivering recreation than in big cities. And you can imagine people from big cities, when they thought about making recreation safe, they would think about cars and traffic. Whereas some of our communities, we might think about bears and safety. So it's very different. So because we had a voice developing the framework, there are priorities under both goal number 2 and 5 that emphasize how important it is to support recreation in northern, rural, and remote communities. So since we've developed the national framework, some of the provinces and territories have created their own guidelines for recreation that link to those national priorities. For example, and I My apologies, I'm not very good at pronouncing any Inuktitut, but Nunavut Aluset, and maybe Rebecca or someone can correct me on that. That is Nunavut Sports Physical Activity and Recreation Framework. It was developed in 2020, and that links, that's a framework for Nunavut, but it also links to the national priorities and to the priorities for communities in Nunavut. And I included a link to that, to Nunavut's framework, under the Explore More section, which you can find at the bottom of the main learning event page. So I'd like to take a minute to talk about with you about how recreation across the North connects to the goals of our national framework, which you can see on slide 14. So for those of you who don't have the slide open, I'll just go through what those are. Goal number one is about active living, and it's getting people moving from childhood all the way through to when they're adults and elders, and it's getting them outdoors playing and making sure that we can move our bodies more because that's healthy for us. Goal number two is about inclusion and access, and that's something that a number of you mentioned in your post this week that's important to you. So it's meaning that people can access recreation and participate regardless of how old they are, where they come from, how much money they have, or where they live, or any of those things. Goal number three is also very important to us in the North. It's about connecting people and nature. And I think we do a really good job of that in the North, but it's sometimes harder if you live in a city to do that. And then goal number four is about supportive environments. And Joanne, I noticed in your post for this week, you wrote about the day camp, how that was such a supportive environment for children in your community. And even your goal says that. So I thought that was really wonderful. And that's not just about the social environment, but it's also about the physical environment. So having spaces and places that are that support recreation. And then goal number five is about recreation capacity, and that's what we're doing right here through the Recreation North Training Program, is we're trying to make sure that we have strong leadership for recreation in all of our communities so that more people can be responsible for making recreation happen in our communities. So for the question today, I have there's two options here. I'd like us to go around the circle a little bit. And you can, in about 20 to 30 seconds, you either can choose to ask me a question about the framework for recreation in Canada, or you can explain to me, and I know some of you have posted this already, how a recreation activity in your community connects to a goal of the framework. Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot, and we're going to start with you again, but I'll give an example just so you can see what that example is. And I'll also post the questions, or I'll pop them into the chat so that you can see. You don't have to do both of these, and also you can pass if you prefer to listen to everybody else. So you can either ask me a question about the framework for recreation in Canada, or you can tell me how an activity or program in your community connects to a goal of the framework. And I know that you might have done that in your post, but that's totally okay. You can share that one too. So here's my example, and then we'll go to Nathan, and then Juliana, I'm going to pop you in after Nathan because we're going in alphabetical order of communities, and then we'll go to Stephanie and then over to Iglulik. And in Iglulik, you can just choose one or all three of you can share one separately. And again, if you'd like to pass, you can. So while you're thinking, Nathan, here's my example. When we developed this Recreation North training program, we wanted to build capacity for recreation across the North. And so what we did is we made sure that this training program, or what we wanted to do, connected to goal number five. And that way we can say that we're helping achieve national goals, and that's actually helped us get funding for this program. So that's been really good. So our training program builds capacity, goal number five. So Nathan, how about yourself in Baker Lake? Do you have a question about the framework, or can you think of one activity that connects to one of those goals I shared?
Yeah. Well, we have a Get Happy Summer Day Camp. We've been running for a few years now. It's supported by RPAN, Recreational Parks Association of Nunavut. Anyway, I went to athlete with five youth and got them all trained in first aid and how to deal with kids, how to play games, how to interact with difficult children. And then when we came back after the training, I got 10 other summer students funded by Service Canada and the Kivalapanit Association. And then I turned them all into camp counselors, and we got like 150 kids running around in the turf playing lacrosse, soccer, basketball. And then on once a week, we'd get the bouncy castles out if they were good. And the great thing about that program I did, Big Lake was the only community that got outside sources of funding, which I used for healthy breakfast and healthy snacks. So we were able to feed all the kids every day throughout the whole summer. So that, you know, some kids are hungry, like low-income families don't get to eat every day. So it was a great way to feed the kids and let them play and run around. So I like to think it was like active living, exclusion, like the poor, like the ones that couldn't eat every day. And then we'd have them run around hiking on the hills in one afternoon, or go to the beach and go collect little fish, you know, stuff like that, and just running around. It was a great summer day camp. I like to
That's
think
great.
That I
and-
all the goals.
You're exactly right, Nathan. I can, from your explanation, starting with developing leaders all the way through to the activities the kids did, I think you touched on every one of those goals. So thank you. That's a really good example. And hopefully when you do your post for this week, you can maybe have a photo to share with us, like, because I love seeing those photos. So thank you. Okay, let's go to Juliana and then Stephanie and then Iglulik. So, Juliana, you can either ask a question about the framework or share how one recreation activity in your community connects to a goal of the framework, or you're welcome to pass and listen to the next person, too.
Okay, so I'm going to share one of the programs that we had here that would align with goal of active living.
Okay.
Physical literacy, but also how we started last winter program that was my winter training program. It was, we tried to get a, it was still during COVID outbreak and all the isolation, and trying to get people, we targeted youth, but sometimes we would ask them to engage with younger siblings or family members that would get more people engaged with them. But it was basically targeted on youth, and we wanted them to keep active. We were mainly trying to show them how physical activity would also enhance mental and overall well-being. We got some activities for them that we had planned. Actually, we're showing them that we want also to bring awareness that when we're talking about an active lifestyle or physical activities, we're not just talking about exercise and going to the gym or going to the arena, those places that they were closed and they couldn't go to. We want to show them how things that they were part of their daily lives, like when they were out just sliding in the West Arm, or they were just helping the elders with the groceries, running around at the, especially getting them outside, outdoors, and showing them how to keep active would help them for the mental health. Was basically
that's great
that we did. It was good because after the lockdown from May to August, we were able to bring actually to the community kinesiologist, so he was leading activities directly with the summer day camps or with the elders also, and with the CPNP with pregnant ladies in town, so we were able to get some new and good stuff going on.
That's great. Thank you very much, Juliana. So you did mention that it touched on active living, but probably also inclusion and accessibility and connecting people with nature and also the supportive environment. So thank you for sharing that. Let's go into Stephanie, and then we've got Kumanatik, Andrew, and Trevor. So let's try and keep our explanation to about 30 seconds or less, just so everybody has a chance to share. So Stephanie, in about 30 seconds or less, would you like to share, you can share the Gateway Jamboree that you already posted about or something else, and a different one, or did you have a question about the framework?
I just have a question mostly, goal 2, inclusion and access. Are there any courses or extra courses that a recreational leader can take in order to, I'm thinking more along the lines of mental wellness and well-being, to connect or being able to communicate with people with, I would say, constraints when it comes to mental wellness, addiction awareness, physical disabilities? Is there any way that, because it's easy to talk to someone that you personally know, but how, like, in order to communicate with, I guess to broaden the vocabulary physically and verbally to people who have constraints and how to get information and how to help these people.
Yeah, that's a really big question. I'll just try and rephrase that to make sure that I've got it correct. So you're asking me, is there any other training or opportunities to understand how to communicate and share so that our programs increase participation of people that might have constraints for participating? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so I might have to hold on to that and give you some answers, but if anyone else knows of anything, please pop your answer in the chat or let me know. And what I'm going to do, Stephanie, is I'm going to take your question and I'm going to create a post for this week with that question, and that lets other people answer, because I might know of some things in the Yukon or nationally, whereas Tim might know of some things in NWT, and maybe Joanne, Rebecca, or anybody in Nunavut might know of some things in Nunavut. So I think that that's a really good question. So can I create a post around your question then?
Sure, that'd be great.
Super, thanks. That's a great opportunity. So let's go to Andrew Kumanatik and Trevor. And I don't know if you want to share one example together or if you each want to share, because I think you've all posted already. You can share what you've posted. And just tell us what goal it connects to. So or you can pass. It's up to you.
Okay. Trevor and Andrew passed this right now, so, and I won't be able to say this on top of my head, so I'll just post it on the chat.
Okay, that's great, and I'll read it when you post it. Thank you. And are you talking about, like, you posted about Indigenous Days coming up, and I noticed Trevor had special events and you had Easter Days, Andrew. So those are all very similar. So I think maybe your answer, Kumanatik, that it connects to goals of supportive environments for those special events is probably for all three of you. Would that be about right? Am I correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's about right. It's pretty much for the three of us.
That's great. Thanks. And depending on the activities that those events include, you might be getting people out and active. You might be including people who don't normally come out, which is really great, and you might also be doing it outdoors, so it connects people to the outdoors. So thank you for that. Trista's passed, so we're going to go to Joanne, and then Morgan, and then Rebecca. So Joanne, over to you. I really enjoyed reading your post today. I'm wondering if you want to share that or another activity or event, or if you have a question to ask.
Hi, yes, feel free to read what I posted there too. I'll quickly share another one that aligns with the three main goals: active living, inclusion and access, and supportive environments. I'll use our youth center as an example. Our youth center is open 6 days a week from Monday to Saturdays, and we invite different ranges and ages. So, for example, we have youth from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., ages 5 to 12, and then we offer for the older group from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., which is 13 and over until 18. And we have different kinds of activities there. We have arts and craft supplies. We have two game consoles. We have two pool tables. We have a few exercise equipments and a place to just hang out. And on Wednesday nights, we have the youth center open for the elders. And they hang out, play pool, engage with each other. So I quickly share that. Those three, aligning with those three goals. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Joanne. I bet the elders love going to the youth center. Sometimes you hear about people needing different spaces, but it's nice that you can use that one space for all different ages. So thank you for sharing that. Over to you, Morgan. Did you have a question? Oh, we popped in here. I'll pass. You were going to say what Nathan mentioned and what Joanne said. So thank you, Morgan, for sharing as well. I think that many of the programs, especially in Nunavut, you have to take advantage of the spaces that you have and the people that you have, and you have so many different ages that really your programs have to be very inclusive and accessible. So thank you, Morgan, for sharing. And Rebecca's passed because she's got busy at work, and Haley has posted, I'll just go up to where Haley posted, she said she runs a pickleball program, and I don't know if pickleball's really big in the Yukon. I don't know, maybe somebody from Nunavut can pop in if people are playing pickleball in Nunavut, and I don't know if people are playing pickleball in MWT, but it's pretty big here. And so Haley runs pickleball, and she said it fits under goal two because there's people of all ages that come to the program. I think, Haley, you said from age 4 all the way up to elders. And if people don't have a transportation, you pick them up, and you also have Young Explorers, which connects to getting kids out on the land. So thank you, Haley. Serena, how about yourself? Let's go over to you. Do you have a question about the framework for recreation, or would you like to share how some of the programs or activities that you do connect to any of the goals of the framework?
Well, I kind of have the same question as, like, how to become, like, more inclusive with our youth, because we do have a few youth that would need an inclusion worker or at least someone who can calm them down in the right way, which would be great. I'm hoping that we could actually just hire another person because we are kind of getting short-staffed. Right now we have a couple people on maternity, so like I think also staffing might be an issue, because we are getting a lot of interest in the community, but this week we only have 2 people who can work.
So does that make it challenging then for some youth might need a lower ratio, like it might, you know, maybe 1 liter to 4 youth as compared to 1 liter to 8 youth? Is that kind of, and then it makes it harder to run the programs? Is that that sort of thing?
So, like, for example, at the beginning of this week, it was just my coworker Dana and I who were working, and we had 19 youth, so we were above our ratio, but, like, we are very much encouraged not to turn away youth because we just started up or whatnot. So, yeah, it was kind of hard and kind of chaotic because we needed to get them snacks, and then also supervise them in the gym and then wherever else that they were allowed to go. And we do have a few young kids who would get overstimulated in that kind of situation.
Yeah, so that's almost a good question for other people to be able to share what they do in their communities, because I'm not sure what Nunavut community or communities it is, but I have heard sometimes there's like one person and a lot of youth, and it can be difficult. So if anyone has any ideas of how you handle those ratios or any suggestions, would that be helpful, Serena?
We ended up handling it by going into all the youth into the multi-purpose room, and then we all together did a community agreement, which kind of just like made up rules for the space that they had, and it just I got them to come up with their own rules.
Oh, okay. So you had all of them participate in an agreement about how they were going to have their recreation time together and what was respectful?
Yes.
That's great. So that, what you're explaining, I think that really links to inclusion and access, because it's really easy to leave out people that maybe their behavior isn't perfect or anything like that. But if you can find ways to bring them into the group and have the group, like you said, like a community agreement, that will definitely be more inclusive for people that sometimes might find it harder to participate for various reasons. So thank you for sharing that and bringing that up, Serena. I appreciate that. It sounds like pickleball's pretty big in Ontario, or at least in Ignace, where Trista is, and in NWT. So thanks for sharing that back. So just as we wrap up the call, I just wanted to touch on the benefits of recreation. So last week we started sharing how recreation can make a difference in people's lives. We slide 15 explains to you how recreation can strengthen leadership. It can build trusted relationships, like Serena just described. It can help people be healthy and also develop self-esteem and confidence. Youth learn a lot of social skills and life skills through recreation and can also explore career opportunities. And Nathan, you described that by getting all the youth on board and then running your day camp with those new leaders. So you've introduced them to a potential career or work in the recreation field. So for all of us who work in recreation, we know that recreation can be very powerful in our communities. It can make a difference for people's individual health, both physical and mental, their social well-being. And people who spend time recreating outdoors often look after the outdoors a little bit more as well. But I think the biggest challenge we all find, and Serena, you mentioned this when you said staffing, is that sometimes money gets tight. And when money gets tight, sometimes recreation is one of the first things that's cut. So maybe sometimes you have to make a case to your SAO or to your supervisor to try and keep people involved and engaged in recreation and make sure your budgets aren't cut. So making a case is sometimes difficult to do. Across the country, we tend to use this is a big word, but the word evidence. And that sounds very school-like and academic to me. So, but evidence is something like, you know, Nathan, you said when you grew up there was lots of snow, whereas now there isn't any snow. So just showing those changes in snow patterns is evidence of climate change or changing weather patterns. Sometimes we need to have evidence in recreation, but that's harder to draw in sometimes. So in our field of recreation nationally, we have something called the Benefits of Recreation that you can find in the Benefits Hub that I've linked under the Explore More section. Some of this evidence is shown on slide 16, especially the economic or money benefits of having recreation. In 1992, we started to collect this evidence in four categories, so about the person or the individual, the social or community, about the environment, and about money or economics. And so if you feel like it, take a look at the Benefits Hub. It's mostly academic information, but it can be useful for those of you who have to do a presentation to your chief and council or to your SAO or your Hamlet Council or your recreation board. It can be useful if you're writing a big grant application. But for me personally, I prefer stories. I think that stories are part of our culture across the North, and stories really speak to people's hearts. And then when we can speak to their hearts, then their head starts to follow. So slides 17 and 18 share a few stories. There's the stories about how we won the Arctic Inspiration Prize, and there's stories from the Yukon, and then there's some of the national stories that are on the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association website. I think that there might be a time in all of your communities when recreation had a positive influence. Maybe it was because more youth came together. Maybe there was less vandalism or break and enters. Maybe there were people who got healthier and felt more positive, or people who volunteered. And recreation really can lead to these positive changes. I'm just wondering, we just have about 5 minutes left, so I'm wondering if anybody would like to share a story of a time when recreation had a positive impact in your community. And you don't have to. I'll probably have to cut us short. I'll post it in the chat. And I'll just say, yes, do you have one that you'd like to share, or no? It's totally up to you. You can decide which one, if you want to share or not. So, Nathan, do you have a story of a time when recreation had a positive impact in your community?
I guess I can mainly think of in the 1980s, Big Lake was really going through tough times economically, socially, suicide was very high, and we couldn't really do anything. We couldn't play games. We couldn't, because there was no money, and we were in a deficit. The SAO had stolen money, so he got fired, and everything. Nothing could happen, and so we thought there wasn't going to be anything at all, but everyone just went together and, hey, let's have a square dance. I know there's no games, no prizes, no money, no food, but let's just go dance. And that's what they did. They just square dance. And I remember they would just square dance throughout the whole night. I remember going to sleep at midnight and then waking up 7, 8 in the morning, running to the arena, and they were still square dancing. I thought that was pretty amazing. We didn't have much back then, but we had dancing.
Aw, thanks for sharing that, Nathan. And Megan Hashey last year explained how important square dancing was coming through COVID, and how you couldn't square dance indoors, so they used the ball field for square dancing. So I think that really tells me a lot about Baker Lake. Thank you.
Thank
Juliana,
you.
Did you have a short story about how recreation had a positive impact in the community of Cambridge Bay? And you can pass if you want to, because we just have a couple more minutes, so it's up to you.
Sorry, I didn't think about the...
That's okay. Remember, listening to
this
is important.
Trying to get it, yeah. No, but it's, and I'm looking through the, while they are talking about, I'm looking through a park that we have here, that is outside from my window. Some of the things that we were planning for the kids to have, where we wanted them to gather. Actually, it's one of the things that we're going to do with the youth, because we have a few plans of what we want to offer them, and it's been for the past months that we have a group of youth advisors, and we want to bring it back to them. We wanted them to choose. For sure, we're not going to completely open that they would say, oh, we want a moat theater here, or we want some kind of stuff that we cannot give them for the next month, where we're going to present a few activities, but we want them to choose. So I think the empowerment to youth through recreation, maybe it's one of those things that I would mention.
Thank you so much, Juliana, for that. Stephanie, have you noticed a time in your community when recreation made a difference?
Hello. I would say the facility that we have currently during the flood in Hay River, I would say the facilities that we had in Enterprise had really assisted with evacuees. It was tough, and there was There's just a small community that we are, and I found the facility that we had was already available, and everybody, anyone and their dog was pretty much helping everyone that we can come through the community and assist any which way we can. So I'd say the facility, the physical area that we're in, because we're a hub between Hay River and then going to Yellowknife and then going to Alberta. So we kind of, we were the community that everybody went through.
Yes. Thank you, Stephanie. Yes. Thanks for sharing that. And Trevor has just shared in the chat. Trevor, I just thank you for sharing your own story. I'm so glad that taking some time for your own learning and development helps your own physical health. So thank you for sharing that. Andrew or Wanaoptik, would you like to share a story from your community as well? Or would you like to just pass? It's up to you.
Maybe pass from. We'll pass for now.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we just have a couple of minutes left. So, Joanne, any examples from your community of where recreation's really made a difference?
Yeah, I'll quickly share a few big differences we had over the summer. We hired on 12 summer students summer to work for our hamlet, and they were on a rotation between recreation along with the building maintenance group, and they were with us for a 9-week program. We had a very few shy ones, and actually one of our students was in special care needs, but he showed up. He started off by being super quiet, didn't say anything. He was super shy. But at the end of the summer program, the work experience program, he was so confident. He was happy. He was excited to continue working. He was more interactive and engaging with the other youth. Before, he was just quiet, stood back. And now he's, we've actually, a few of the good students have come back to recreation and has asked if they would like to, I mean, they'd love to work for the youth center. So, yeah, we're hoping to hire a few good students this coming following weeks. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. And it's so important to build that capacity, that's goal number 5, because that takes a lot of, although it's a lot of work for you as a recreation director or manager or coordinator to take the time to do that, it also builds a really positive understanding in the community about why recreation is important. And when more people can be recreation leaders, then everybody benefits. So thank you, Joanne. Morgan, was there an example in your community? I know from Kutluktuk, I know other people may have seen the movie The Grizzlies, but that was one story that I think most people in Canada know from your community. But do you have a story you would like to share? You might be muted, so I'll move on then to Haley. Is there an example from Teslin?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but I just want to say I'm not too sure who said that they had trouble dealing with the amount of kids they did. But I put in the chat what I do, because I'm normally the only worker dealing with the kids, because that is away for school and he's only back for him. So I put what I do into the chat if they would like to try that.
Thank you so much for sharing. And you guys can also access the chat after the conference call. So if somebody says something you can't remember who said it or where, you can find it there. And you can also message the person too. Serena, do you just quickly, I know we're a little bit over time, but I'd just like to give you the opportunity if you have a quick story of how recreation's made a difference in your community.
Yeah, during the pandemic, we were closed down a lot of the time, so we tried to really, like, push for essential work, and one thing that our community safety officers, they also wanted us to become essential, because they did find that our youth would not vandalize or, like, when they get into other kinds of trouble if they had programming to go to. And, like, whenever we are doing programming, they don't get a lot of calls regarding youth.
Yeah, so that's a really good example. You've got somebody else in your community saying why recreation is essential. So it's good to have sort of those stories and those reasons when you go to talk to your chief and council or your supervisor about why recreation needs to stay and be funded. So thank you. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining today's conference call. My apologies for going a couple of minutes over. After I stop the recording, I always stay on the line, and you can stay on in case you have any questions about this week's required learning activity. The required learning activity, I see a number of you have already done it, so thank you. It's described on slide 21 and on Sunday. I really encourage you, as a few people have done, to read each other's posts and send a reply to each other. Ask them a question or say what you like about what they posted. And I love the photos that people are adding. Thank you so much for sharing photos. It really brings your description to life for me. There's also in our learning event, there is number 8 is a feedback form, and I think some of you have filled that out. Please do take the time to fill that out before Sunday or next week. That would be great. And next week we start a new learning event. We start RL101, Identify Your Leadership Strengths. So I look forward to hearing your stories about leadership next week as well. Masicho, Kwana, merci, Nekrumik, and thank you so much for joining today. Have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. I'm going to stop the call recording, so you feel free to hang up, and if you have a question, just stay on the line, and I'll let you know when I'm back. Thank you.